You know, God's word is awesome. Yes, to everyone who receives God's word, it'll save your soul. And, you know, some people have this idea that, you know, there's two parts to the gospel. One is, I shared this with the men yesterday, one is the person of Christ. When you know the person of Christ, you will get to heaven, right? You will experience God's grace. Jesus is like the key that opens heaven's door. And to know where you're going to spend your future, you have to receive Jesus into your heart, the person of Christ. But then secondly, there are the principles of Christ, all right? God gave us his word or his principles, and his principles is what we use to live successfully and have victory on this earth. Because how many know, I've accepted Jesus, but I'm not in heaven yet. Amen? So until that time occurs, I've got things that I've got to do on this earth. And, you know, you've got, once you accept Christ, it's a responsibility then to live for him. Amen? If you've died to sin, you've got to live for Christ. So I just want to encourage you in that today. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 13. We've been doing a study entitled Honoring Authority. And every one of us has authority in our life. There are people that we submit to, and then there are people that submit to us. And we have to know how to appropriately honor, especially authority. Amen? And in Romans chapter 13, we'll begin with verse 6. It says, "For this cause pay you tribute also." And that word tribute is simply your taxes. "For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing." And then verse 7 is what I want you to focus on. He said, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." And we've been talking about honor, and honor is when you show esteem and respect, and it's when you pay homage and reverence. To show honor is the respect that you give to your superiors. It's how you esteem them. It's you know, it's adoration to God. God ultimately deserves the greatest honor, amen, because he is high above. And we need to honor God. And every one of us should live a life that honors God. Because when you finish this life, we're going to have to give an account to him. Amen? Of what he's given us and what we've done. And honor is really reverence for the invisible. And one who possesses the spirit of honor, I've gone over this, but some of you, you know, sometimes it's good to hear it again, amen? Because that way it gets in you. One who possesses a true spirit of honor, they possess a mind that is fearless to speak and to stand up for God. Amen? A truly honorable person does not compromise. A person who has a true spirit of honor avoids selfish interests, and they put others above themselves. So when you truly are operating in honor, you're putting other people before yourself. One who has a true spirit of honor rejects corruption and compromise and seeks the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when you have a true spirit of honor, you demonstrate a passionate and enthusiastic love for God. Amen? And really, honor is about love. Honor is one way to express the love of God that God put in our hearts. One who has a true spirit of honor adheres to and lives by a high moral code of integrity. One who has a true spirit of honor is not afraid or ashamed to perform their duty relating to God and man. Amen? They do what they have to do. Can you say amen? A true spirit of honor will give lavishly and generously to the kingdom of God without being prideful. Hallelujah. One who has a true spirit of honor will live and work, walk in humility. They will not talk to others in a way that is harsh. One who has a true spirit of honor is gentle. You know what? But gentle is not a doormat. Amen? How many know that Jesus was gentle, but yet no one could get him to change his mind or to do something that he shouldn't do? Amen? So gentleness is power. So these are qualities and characteristics that reside in a person that has a spirit of honor. These are things that we need to demonstrate as Christians. Amen? Listen, someone needs to lead the way and walk in honor. And today, I wanted to talk about the family. Honor in the family. Amen? And go with me to Esther chapter 1. The book of Esther chapter 1. So we're going to talk about how we can honor authority in our families. Every one of us came from a family. Amen? And in Esther chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and to small." And verse 21, "And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan." Wouldn't it be so great if we could just issue a decree that everyone has to honor one another? Amen? In this case, the king said the wives had to honor their husbands, and all the husbands said... Now, I'm going to talk to both sets. I'm going to talk to kids. I'm going to talk to parents. I'm going to talk to husbands and wives. Amen? Because God's got something to say to each one of us. And sometimes, you know, we take that verse and, you know, we want to run with it. But go to 1 Peter chapter 3, just to bring a little balance here. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 7. Now here, we just read where a king who became Esther's husband made a decree that wives should honor their husbands. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." How many know that when we don't operate in honor, our spiritual walk is going to be affected? When we don't honor God, it leads down a road to destruction. And I believe that Satan, ever since the beginning of time, has launched the greatest attack against the family. He wants to destroy families. You know, before there was a church, there was a family. Before there was a ministry, there was a family. And every family has an assignment. Every family, God wants families to do things. Now, you may be involved in different things, but there is an overall purpose for the family. Amen? And we're going to talk about that today, because I want to pray for families today later on. Amen? Because there is a lot of pressure in today's world that's against the family. You know, with the laws that our government makes, sometimes the laws go against what God says. You know, they just made a law where the what do they call it, the Plan B or the morning after, you don't need any permission, right? For someone who's 15 years old. That's an attack on the family. But I want you to know that God loves the family. God created the family. And there's no other person that has more kids than God. Amen? And he knows how a family should operate. Because he resembles his body, is reflects that of a family. When one member of the body hurts, what happens? The whole body hurts. Well, that's not true, really? Let me take your thumb and a hammer and let's see if that's true. If your little thumb gets hurt, I guarantee you your body will affect it. Your body will feel the effects, won't it? So, husbands, you need to honor your wives. Wives, you need to honor your husbands. Guess what? You need to honor each other. Amen? Now, when Peter says, honor her as a weaker vessel, the Lord showed me something about that. He gave me a picture of a priceless vase. Now, how would you handle a priceless vase? Husbands, you need to treat your wife like a priceless vase, all right? You're not going to play catch with a priceless vase, right? You're not going to carry it flippantly, but you're going to carry it with two hands. You're going to make sure that it doesn't drop because it's priceless. It's valuable. And you're going to put that vase somewhere on display, right? You're going to put it in a secure place. How many women are into security? Come on, ladies. Help me out. You know, women want security. So you're going to treat them like that priceless vase. Valuable. You're going to put it on display. You know, like one of my instructors in Bible school, he told us this story. He said, honey, he said, when you go to the mall and you go shopping, he said, I want you to put on your best dress. I want you to put on your makeup, and I want you to do your hair, and I want you to look good, because I want, when you walk through that mall, I want every person looking at you and knowing that she's mine. Amen? Go with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Let's talk to the children a little bit. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Notice what the Word of God says here. Honor your father and your mother. Say this with me. Say, honor your father and your mother. So they should be honored equally, right? Worthy of respect, worthy of esteem, valued, cherished. You present yourself for service, okay? That your days may be long upon this land, which the Lord your God gives you. Now, it's interesting that the Bible shares this very same thought in Deuteronomy, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in Ephesians. So what does that tell me? God wants you to honor your parents. Amen? Honor your father and your mother. Didn't say if they did good, didn't say if they did bad. You honor them because they're your parents. Without them, you would not exist. They gave you something that no one on this earth can give you. God used your parents to bring you here. And however your relationship is with them, honor them because they're your parents. Amen? Respect them. Listen to them. You know, your parents have some good things to say. Go with me to Leviticus. Chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. So to all the teenagers here, of course our younger kids are there, honor your mother and father. And if you don't know how to do that, ask the Lord to help you. Amen? You know, Jesus honored his father. He lived a life that reflected his relationship with his father. He said, I only do what I see my father do. He said, I'm not giving you my message, but I'm giving you my Father's message. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was a perfect representation of God the Father here on earth. God put his word in a human body, and he planted him here on this earth so that he could be an example to us. Do you realize that we can learn so much from the 3.5 years, well, actually the 33 and a half years that Jesus walked this earth, but we don't know much about his days up until 30 when he started his ministry. We know what we have recorded is a few little things. As a young boy, when he was 12, he said, I must be about my Father's business. He respected his Father's input. And, okay, we're in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. I'm going to read this from the New King James. It says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. So what is he telling us? To honor those who are elders. All right? See, so since I got a little gray on my head, amen. You know, it was funny. We just had a home going, and Jimmy, he looked at me and he said, you know, do you remember who I am? And I said, sure. And he said, well, you're getting kind of gray. I just wanted to make sure. It was funny. But see here, he's telling us to honor those who are our elders. And go with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 33. This was when Paul and Silas were in Philippi in the jail, and they began praising God at midnight, and they had the first jailhouse rock. And the prison doors opened, and the warden of the prison, he thought the prisoners had escaped, and so he was going to kill himself. But Paul said, all of us are here. And we're going to pick up the story here at verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And he brought them into his house. He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Isn't it amazing how this jailer, you know, he thought his job was at stake because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And when they found out that he didn't, he was immediately connected with Paul and Silas because he recognized that they were probably falsely accused. How did they end up in prison? They got someone healed. You know, can you imagine being in the county jail and say, what are you in for? Well, I got that girl delivered. And here this jailer brings them into his house. You know what? If you want to honor God and your family, you need to bring God into your house. Amen? You need to bring God's presence into your house. Amen? Your house should be a welcome place for Almighty God. He should be able to speak. Did you know that Jesus likes to enjoy dinner with you? Amen? He likes to be there when you wake up. He likes to tuck you in at night. Amen? That's why some of the people said, morning and night will I praise you. But here this jailer, he brought these two into his family. He fed them, and he made sure that what he got, his whole family got. If your life has been touched by Christ, then live that life in front of your family. The best thing that you could do for your family is be an example that they could follow. is to actually carry out what God said in his word. This is what the jailer did. He and all his got baptized. His house was changed because he came in contact with the truth. He honored God in his family. And I guarantee you that that family was forever changed. Amen? Some of us have unsaved loved ones. They need your prayers. They need your example. They need your love. The greatest weapon you have to the unsaved is showing the love of God. Amen? And in your house, you're not going to get honor because you demand it. You will respect me. The best way to get honor is to give honor. Amen? If you want to receive honor, then show honor. Show honor. And you'll receive honor. It's reciprocal. All right? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I think today's a good day to kick Satan out of the house. Amen? And I think it's a good day to pray over families, that God would have his way in your family. Amen? Because only God can do what needs to be done in your family. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. How many know of Smith Wigglesworth? Okay? He was a plumber from England, a very big, burly man in like the 1920s, 1930s. And he only had an eighth grade education. Well, I read a book one time ago, and his wife was, they were taking care of this little mission. And I don't think Smith Wigglesworth was saved yet. So his wife, she said, "I'm going to this mission." All right? Because she was committed. And so she was faithful. And she went there every time that they had services. So when she left, Smith locked her out of the house. And when she got done serving at the mission, she was locked out of the house. So she slept on the porch. The next day, he opened up the door. She walked in. And you know what she did? She made him breakfast. And you know what that did? That led to him being saved. And that man raised several people from the dead in his ministry. He became a very powerful preacher. So be careful what you let into your home. Amen? Be careful what you talk about in your home. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Let's go to verse 9. This is really how we demonstrate and show honor. Let love be without dissimulation. That's hypocrisy. Let your words and your actions be in agreement. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Can you see how honor is tied with love? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. What do you need to add to make prayer? Trouble. No, you shouldn't pray only when there's trouble. Amen? You should develop a habit of prayer, communication with God. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. We ought to have a welcoming home. Amen? One that welcomes strangers. Did you know that in entertaining strangers, you may entertain an angel? You might think it's a stranger, but that stranger could be an angel. And if you diss the stranger, you're dissing the angel. Amen? But you know what? A welcoming home is not automatic, is it? You've got to be willing to put yourself out there. You've got to be willing to expose yourself. Even when someone shows up and it's messy. Amen? Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Notice it says, as much as possible. Amen? Now go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Do you realize that Ruth met her Boaz because she honored her mother-in-law? And do you realize that her mother-in-law changed her name to Bitter? Can you honor a bitter person? Ruth did. Ruth said, "My God will be your God. My place, your place will be my place." Where Naomi went, Ruth went. And when it was time to meet Boaz, Naomi advised Ruth what to do. She followed her instructions. She submitted to her authority. And guess what? She was connected to a rich man named Boaz. Amen? And guess what? She became the great-grandmother of one of Israel's kings named David. Don't tell me that honor doesn't make a difference in your life. Who you show honor to does make a difference. What you honor makes a difference. Honor has rewards. When you honor godly things, God will reward you. But when you honor the devil will reward you. How many know? We've all honored the devil at one time in our life. And we've got his rewards, and they're not too pretty. They're not too pleasant. Yeah, sin is fun for a season, but when you're home, when the lights are out and you're home alone, you're wondering what happened when you were led down a dead end road. Satan, all he wants to do is to steal, kill, and destroy you. Jesus wants to give you life more abundantly. Which would you rather have? I'd rather have more abundant life. But notice, and it's a gift. You've got to receive it. You can either reject it or receive it. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, David was about to bring the ark back. It had fallen into enemies' hands, the Philistines, because they didn't do what God said do, and the ark represents God's presence. And so there was the ark and the Philistines, and you know, the Philistines put the ark in front of their idol named Dagon, and Dagon, every morning they'd go see the idol, and the statue was bowing before the ark. Then finally, the last time they went, they saw that the hands and the head were cut off of the statue, and the ark was intact. And they said, "We need to get this thing out of here." Listen, when you don't know how to handle God's presence, it could harm you. Amen? So, the first time that David tried to bring the ark back, it wasn't right. The ark was never supposed to travel on a cart. It was supposed to travel on the shoulders of the priests. But we're not here to talk about that right now. So let's go down to verse 10. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, what's important about that? It tells me that Obed-Edom knew how to handle the ark. Because prior to it coming to Obed-Edom's house, they mishandled the ark, and those who tried to stop it from falling were zapped dead. But here the ark, the presence of God, resided in Obed-Edom's house. He was a Gittite. I guess that Gittite got it right. He got tight with God. And he was able to see, when God's presence is in your home is blessed. When there's honor in your home is blessed. When kids are honoring their parents and the husband and the wife are honoring one another and then they're honoring the kids, the home is blessed. I want you to have a blessed home. Amen? It's going to take, though, you welcoming God's presence into the home. That means when God's presence is there, that means there are standards. There are boundaries. There are things you do and things you don't do. Amen? How many know when God's presence is in our lives, we don't live according to our standards anymore. We live according to God. And he brings us up higher. And how many know that God doesn't lower his standards? And the thing about God, the same standards apply to everybody. Amen? So here was Obed-Edom. For 3 months, his whole house was being blessed because God's presence was there. Okay? And so David now, he brought the ark in the right way. And he would take 6 steps and he would stop and he would worship the Lord and he would sacrifice. He would move a little bit more and he would stop and he would worship the Lord and he would sacrifice. Why? Because now he was doing it in honor of God, not honor of man. And all of a sudden, look at verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, that was David's wife at the time, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. She did not honor worship. She did not honor the presence of God. First of all, what are you doing as king, jumping up and leaping around wildly? Let me tell you, whether you're a king, whether you're a priest, or whether you're not, you can still praise the Lord. Amen? Without inhibition. David, at this point, he didn't care what people thought, but he was enjoying the presence of the Lord. And he got caught up in the shouting and the trumpets, and the Spirit of God was moving because they were handling God's things the right way. David was honoring God, but Michal, however you say it, she was judging David. She despised him. I can't believe he worships that way. Look at that. He can't even dance. Why does he got to jump up like that anyway? You know, aren't we tempted to look when people are worshiping and to express our opinion? But aren't you glad that an opinion unexpressed dies unborn? When you don't express your opinions, you know, like Mama said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it. Don't say anything at all. Here was David. Okay, they brought the ark. They set it in its place. And look at verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. he wanted his house to share what he was sharing, what he was experiencing. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today?" That's sarcasm. She wasn't giving him a compliment. "Who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself." You know, wait till the Spirit of the Lord hits you and you start rolling on the floor. You know, there's been times in my life when the Spirit of God hit me and I sat there and shook for 45 minutes under the power of God. The power of God is very real. Amen? And to those who yield to the power, to those who welcome His power, to those who open their hearts to His power, you will experience His power. But notice what happened to Michal. "And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord, which chose me before your father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will pray before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than this." Other translations say, "I will yet be more undignified than this." If you think I was radical worshiping today, you ain't seen nothing yet. Listen, sometimes we need radical worship. Amen? When you realize what God has done for you in your life, when you realize that He's done so much for you, there's just so many words that can express what you feel that you got to go beyond words to express what you're feeling. Amen? And see, now the devil will try to stifle your expression with pressure and intimidation and fear. But we've got to push beyond that. Do you realize that when you worship God, you are giving Him the highest honor? And your worship touches God's heart. Never be ashamed of worshiping God. "I will be more vile than this and will be base in my own sight." That's an attitude of honor. And of the maidservants which you have spoken of them, shall I be had in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Listen, when you dishonor, it's going to cost you. When you dishonor God, when you dishonor the people of God, the things of God, the word of God, anything that has to do with God, you better honor Him instead of dishonor Him. It doesn't produce any good thing. And you know, David was a man of honor. How many know that David had a best friend named Jonathan? Jonathan was Saul's son. Jonathan was in line to be king when Saul died. But when Saul hired David to be his armor bearer, Jonathan and David, the Bible says their souls were knit together. They became covenant partners in life. They exchanged a blood covenant. They became best friends. And when it came time to choose between his father and David, Jonathan protected David. When he found out that his father really wanted to kill David, remember, he shot the arrow. He said, "If the arrow goes past you, my father wants to kill you, but if it comes before you, everything will be okay and you can come back home." And he shot the arrow past it. He protected David. Why? Because David honored God where his father was not honoring God. Now, Jonathan never dishonored his father, but he never honored men above God. Amen? Sometimes we get in the trap. We want to honor people above God, and that's the wrong thing to do. Now, why am I saying this? Because, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 9. I want you to notice how David considered his honor of his friend, Jonathan. Even when Jonathan died, David sought to honor a member of Jonathan's family. That's how strong of a bond that David had. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. David said, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Is that incredible or what? The relationship that David forged with Jonathan. Verse 2, "And there was of the house of Saul a servant named, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Are you Ziba? And he said, Your servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Now Lodabar was a dry, barren, destitute place. Then King David sent, brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold, your servant. David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I will restore you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am? Notice, he thought he was a dead dog. He thought his life was over. Do you realize that people thought that David was going to kill him, so they were running when he was a baby, and they slipped out of his hands, and that's how his feet got lame. But isn't that what God has done for us? We were in the land of Lodabar, and he humbled himself, and he came down to where we are. God sent for us through his son Jesus, and he said, I want you to, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and he came to us. And now he offers us a seat at the king's table. We can eat with the king. We can eat the good portion. We can sit with Jesus in heavenly places. He picks us up out of the miry clay, and he sets our feet upon the rock. What David did for Mephibosheth, say that 10 times. Jesus did for us. He honored his relationship. He showed kindness. He didn't have to. Jonathan was dead. But honor doesn't die. You don't stop honoring. You don't stop doing the right thing. Galatians 6 says, Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. How many has, you know, we in our humanness, we get tired of doing the right thing. I wish I could do the wrong thing every once in a while. Why? The very time that you do the wrong thing, you will miss out on your harvest. Be not weary in well-doing. Don't stop doing good. Don't stop doing good, especially to the household of God. Be not weary in well-doing. Why? For you shall reap if you faint not. Now's not the time to faint. Now's not the time to give up. Now's the time to press in and to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So David, he honored Mephibosheth. And it changed Mephibosheth's life. Can you say amen? So God wants there to be honor in our families. And the best way to instill honor is to teach and practice the Word of God. Now let's talk about another family as we get close to closing time. Let's talk about the church. You know the church is a family? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. You know some things about the church? Jesus is the head of the church, isn't he? He purchased the church with his blood, didn't he? He put gifts in the church. The apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's it. He put those gifts where? In the church. Now, the church obviously is not the building. This building is where the church meets. But the church is the people. But I guarantee you that because Jesus is the head of the church, he's got a passion for the church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is the most dynamic force given with the message of God to proclaim the gospel in the earth. The church. You are the church. We are the church. Amen? And where the church comes together, he said, if two or three be gathered in my name, there I am. The I am is here today. Hallelujah. The great I am, the Almighty God, is here today. He's setting things straight. He's straightening out the crooked things. If you were crooked in your thinking, you can have the mind of Christ and that thinking will be straightened out. Amen? For those who come to church that have such a low self-esteem about them, you're like Mephibosheth and you think that you're a dog. Let me tell you what, God builds you up. He fills up the valleys. And for those that come to church that think that they're more than, they think more highly of themselves than they ought to, God will tear down the pride. Amen? And he has a way of causing you to humble yourself under his mighty hand. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, he said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. He goes on to say, do not muzzle the ox while he treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Amen. So people who labor, especially those who teach and preach the Word of God, they're worthy of double honor. Amen? Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. And let's go to verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Covetousness is greed, and greed and covetousness are idolatry. And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. How many know the Lord is your helper? He's here to help you. Why? Because we can't do it on our own. You need God working in your life. Everybody needs a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know God, but you need to grow in that knowledge. You know, you can't just say, well, I met Jesus 20 years ago, but your life doesn't reflect that meeting. It's time to get back to that meeting, amen? It's time to revisit Jesus. And just allow him to come into your life. Why do you resist God from working in you? Well, you think, well, maybe I don't have to do that now. Listen, you don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You have today. That's why it's a gift. It's called the present. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? If you're here today and you don't know where you're going to spend the eternity, you need to find out. I would find that out as quickly as possible. Because something may happen to you tomorrow. So when you hear the gospel, the moment you hear the gospel is the time to act on it. So if you're here today and you need to meet Jesus, you need to get born again, today is your day. Amen? Don't wait another day. Knowing Jesus is not a bad thing. Jesus is cool. Jesus knows how to have fun. Jesus knows how to enjoy life. Jesus never had a bad day when he was on this earth. People criticized him. People accused him. People made fun of him. But guess what? He kept doing what he needed to do. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. If you don't know Jesus, you are being held captive by Satan. He has kidnapped your soul, and only Jesus can pay the ransom and free you. Jesus wants to free you from your captivity today. Verse 7, Hebrews 13. Remember them which have the rule over you. In the body of Christ, there is no rank, but in the kingdom of God, there is rank. Amen? God gives men authority. I did not choose on my own to become a preacher, but God called me to preach. God anointed me to do what I'm doing in this very moment and this very hour. Not everybody is called to preach. Amen? But we're all called to do something. And I would encourage you, do what you're called to do. If you don't know what that is, ask God. He'll show you. Listen, God wants you to do what you're supposed to be doing more than you want to. But remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Listen, I only want you to follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, then you're not obligated to follow me. But if I'm following Christ, guess what? Then you should follow my faith. Amen? Because I am a man. I make mistakes. There is no such thing on this earth as the perfect church. Oh, I found the perfect church. No, you haven't, because you just showed up. Sorry, people are not perfect. There's not one of us in here that is perfect. If you're perfect, then you've achieved what you're supposed to do, then why are you still here? Amen? That's a logical question, isn't it? If you're so perfect, you should be in heaven. But we're not there, right? So all of us are still striving for the mastery. Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. That's why it's important to be in a good church that teaches the Word of God. Amen? Why? Because Jesus said there will be false teachers and false prophets among you. And praise God for a place that you can come and hear the Word of God. Amen? And, you know, preaching is just truth poured over personality. I like to say this about church. It's like Baskin Robbins. There's a flavor for everybody. You may not like our flavor. Amen? But there is a flavor that you like, and God has created places that has that flavor. Okay? We have a certain flavor. And if you don't like this flavor, that's okay. Just like my grandma always said, if you don't like it, that's okay, but just try it. Amen? But you'll find that if you try it, we taste pretty good, so. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them and have occupied therein. You know, I know from the story of Elisha. Elisha was a farmer. He had 12 yoke of oxen. While Elijah was having his pity party after he received the message from Jezebel that she was going to kill him, and if she was going to kill him, she probably should have sent an assassin and not a mailman. But anyway, Elijah allowed discouragement to set in his life. And really, that discouragement brought his ministry to an end, because God appeared to him and said, I want you to anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. Basically saying, Elijah, your work is done. You need to anoint your predecessor. So he went and he anointed Elisha. And the first thing that Elisha did was he killed his yoke of oxen. He burned the yoke and he fed the oxen to the community. They had a barbecue. All right? And no more farming. Listen, when you kill your 12 oxen and you burn your yoke, you're not going to farm anymore. He made a total commitment to the calling of God. And he followed Elijah. Where Elijah went, Elisha was carrying his bags. Elisha had to put up with his complaining, his murmuring. And Elisha was faithful. He honored Elijah. He respected Elijah. And guess what? When it was time for Elijah to go, what was Elisha's reward? He said, my father, he said, I'm about to go. What shall I do for you? He said, I want a double portion of your anointing. See, when you honor people, you get double what they have. How many know Joshua honored Moses? He served Moses faithfully. He did what Moses said. He was there and he defended Moses. And God honored him. Just like God honored Elisha. Because he served the man of God. He honored the man of God. Now don't put men on a pedestal, but just give them honor that's due. Amen? Just show them respect and esteem for what God has gifted them to do, what God has called them to do. Because a true minister did not put themselves in that position. So when Elijah went up in the chariots of fire, down came his mantle. And Elisha, because he served the man of God, he honored the man of God, he got the man of God's mantle. But he went on to do twice as many miracles as Elijah did because he received a double portion. So when you operate in honor, you will have a reward. Parents, when you honor your kids, you will have a reward. Husbands, when you honor your wives, you will have a reward. Wives, when you honor your husbands. Let me just say something to them. Yes, the Bible says honor your husband, but to the husband, he says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Which is easier to do, honor the husband or love someone as Christ loved the church? But guess what? They're both responsible for what they're supposed to do. Now, it's much easier, ladies, or men, let me talk to the men. It's much easier for your wife to honor you when you're loving her like Christ loved the church. She's not going to have to think, boy, it's so hard to honor. She is going to honor that man. Well, you got to find out how Christ loves the church in order to do that. He said, parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't be harsh. And if you're harsh, repent. You know, there are times when I've acted stupidly towards Gabriel, and I have to go to Gabriel and I have to say, Gabriel, Daddy was wrong. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? I humble myself and I repent because I was wrong. Because I want him to receive honor just as much as I want to get honor. So when you do something wrong, take responsibility for it and make it right. That's what God wants you to do. And yes, it's a humbling thing, but, you know, I do it because I love my son and I love God. And I'll probably have to do that with Josiah. I know I've had to do that with Fiona. But that's what showing honor does. If you want to show honor and you make a mistake, don't try to cover it up. You know, don't, why do you fight for who's right or who's wrong? Does it really matter? Does it really matter to get the reward? I'm right. Guess what? You just got your reward. What matters is what's the overall cause for the family. That's really what matters. There's something bigger. So I want to pray for families today. Amen? God's got families in his mind. And he wants to bless your family. He wants to restore a spirit of honor into your family. Amen? For those of you that can, I just want you to stand up. And if you're there with your family, families, come together. Families, hold hands. We're going to see God move in families. Amen? And if your family's not right here, they're holding in the Spirit. Okay? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places that have found their way into our family. And we say, no more. We close the door on the devil and darkness. And Father, today in the name of Jesus, we invite light to come into our homes. We invite peace into our homes. Father, we call upon the power of God to move in our homes in the name of Jesus. Lord, we make Christ the center of our home. He is the reason for the season. He is the reason why our family exists. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would pour out your peace and your blessing and your goodness on every family in the name of Jesus. Father, every family that was stolen from, Lord, that was destroyed, I ask you to bring comfort and peace. I ask you to repair the breach, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, deal with pride in families. Father, I pray that you're softening every hard heart in families in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to bless families. Father, I ask you to reveal your will to the family in the name of Jesus. I ask you to strengthen the families, Father, for these times that we're living in. Our families need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Father, I pray that every family will begin to do what you want them to do in the name of Jesus. And Father, I call into every unsaved family member in the name of Jesus, and I pray that their eyes be opened. And Lord, that your goodness goes before them and leads them to repentance, Father. Break down their walls and their barriers and draw them in by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for giving the victory, for giving our families the victory in the name of Jesus. Father, let's not let the flesh reign in our families, but let's let the Spirit reign in our families. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not born again, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the way to become part of God's family is to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. Amen? And if you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. It'll put your life in the right direction, on the right course. Don't try to live your life without Jesus. You can't do it. It leads to a dead end. It leads to hell. A life without Jesus leads to hell. A life with Jesus leads to heaven. So is there anybody here today? You say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord and Savior, and I would like to accept him today. I want to give you that opportunity. I want you to come up right here so that I can pray for you. Because I did the very same thing when I was 12 years old. just like I'm asking you to come up. I came up and I gave my heart to Jesus, and he came into my life and he changed my life. And your life can change too. Is there anybody that says that applies to me, Pastor? And you know, that's just as bad, to have accepted it and then do nothing with it. There was a prodigal son who left his home. He went and did his own thing, but realized that didn't get him anywhere. And he came back home. Maybe you know the Lord. Maybe you're a Christian, but maybe you just haven't been serving him. You haven't been living for him. You haven't been walking with him. You need to come back home. You need to make things right. Amen? I'd like to pray for you today, too. Because there's nothing more exciting when one person comes to the Lord. The angels in heaven throw a party. They shout and rejoice. So maybe you need to come back to the Lord. Is there anybody here that needs to come back? Make things right with God. Just going to give you a moment. Let the Holy Spirit work. Father, I thank you for drawing everyone here by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for leading and guiding them, bringing them to you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, go and show honor in your family today. Amen. Just let the love of God go into your home today. Whenever you're with your relatives, just let them see Jesus. Amen? Because his love is shed abroad in your hearts. Well, praise God. Someone say praise the Lord.